This verse should be a schus li l'nishmas kitul beila bas Reb Zalman Baruch in the middle of the shiva right now. Lila nishmoso b'shus kvoidrash ha-yeshivish lita b'shus kol ha-kol ha-kodesh hazeh the heilige baditsheve schus yogin aleinu. Everybody knows the story, every child knows the story. How the baditsheve came into shul the night of Kol Nidre. It was described that he came bepishut yodayim viraglayim. He was lying on the floor. He said, Rebbeinu shel olam, you were mitzave us 2 days, the ninth day of Tishrei, to be oichel v'shoyse. He gave a mitzvah to eat and drink the entire day. And the next day in Yom Kippur to fast the entire day. Everybody ate and drank, they were mekayim your mitzvahs. And I look around the shul, I can't find one drunkard, one person whose stomach is bloated from overeating or who fell asleep who couldn't come to shul. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael, the magnitude of giving such instructions to any other nation in the world. Where is there such a nation like this? Very famous story of the Heilige Melitzes, of the Sanhedrin Shel Yisrael, of the Kedushas Levi. We need to understand, why was this the advocacy, this is a defense that the Baditsheva chose to talk about? You're talking about, we could just imagine what it must have looked like, Kol Nidre Nach in Baditshev, from Heilig and Tzadik. We heard from Eden, even in our times, I read Talmud Chochem and Ma'abetz Torah was talking about, he said, he's a Yid Talmud Chochem, he said, his father was what you called a balabos. He said, wasn't a learned person, certainly not a Ma'abetz Torah. He said, when my father went to shul on Erev Yom Kippur, before he left the house, he stopped by the mezuzah, he put his hand on the mezuzah, he burst into tears. Says, my children will never see me do that. It was a different world. I heard from a Yid, told me he was, remembered, in the city of Bilgerai, remembered going to shul in Erev Yom Kippur, going to Daven Mincha, from a block away. You could hear the crying, you could hear the bakoshes, you could hear mamish, and it filled the streets. So you could just imagine what it must have looked like 200 years ago, in Baditshev. Then after Aseres, he made tshuva of tefillas, bakoshes, tzedokas, slichas. And this is what he thought of. There's no shikurin. There's no one drunk in shul. Why was this what he chose to be the sanhedrin? You know, perhaps the Heilige Baditsheva Dargat Ruach HaKodesh and the Baditsheva wasn't just talking about his times. He wanted to give a melitza that would stand true until the days of Mashiach. Rabbosai, did anybody ever in his life come to shul called Nidre Night and see somebody who was drunk? Anybody ever see somebody who lost all control at the Sudan Erev Yom Kippur and couldn't function? Kol Nidre Nach. I don't think anybody's ever seen such a thing. The Baditshev was saying, I don't know to where the world will still fall, and to what a level of shel tachtis, and what an atmosphere Yiddish kinder are going to be living. Rebbeinu Shlom, one thing I can promise you, that Klal Yisrael, the Kedusha will always be nizgala. On this heilige day of Yom Kippur, and they'll be elevated above all of the shikua in Olam Hazeh, even if there'll be an Olam HaTainug, an Olam, a world that pursues pleasures hundreds of times more and more readily available than Sudosa Shel Achashverosh. But on this day, as the Pasuk says, Ki Gadol Yom Hashem V'Noyre Ma'oid U'Mi Yichilenu, And this day will be Nisvarer Kedushas Yisrael, and the difference between Klal Yisrael and all of the Ummas. All of them will come to Bes Medrash. They'll all come running, and they'll run to hug and to kiss the Sefer Torah as they bring it around, and they get to hold the white mantle that's already wet from so many Yiddish Atrenin. And they're all going to ask Mechida from the Torah Kedusha, and from their ois that's in the Torah, and perhaps I've caused something to be poigim in that ois, that it doesn't shine like it's supposed to. I'm asking Mechila. According to one man, Dama, the Gemara, Itzuma shel yoim is mechaper. The etzem day of Yom Kippur is mechaper. The day itself, that there's a day when the light of neshamos of Klal Yisrael is bekeya. It pierces through all of the mechitzas into heaven of Yiddish kinder returning la'aviyem shebashamayim. In Shemayim there's a storm of the koilas, of the slichas, of the tshuva, of the bakoshes, of the nesinas tzedakah. In Shemayim, you can hear all of the phones ringing of people calling up, make those difficult phone calls. Say, I'm sorry. I want to ask you mechila. Parents and children, children and parents, brothers and sisters, neighbors, friends, running towards each other, putting aside past differences, making amends. Even in a time of such hest upon him, there's aftocha kilos yishokach mipi zaroi. And this day brings a kapor in all of the elamos. We no longer have the heilige baditshiva to speak up in our defense. But we have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the sanegorian shel Yisrael. As Rabbi Akiva looked at Klal Yisrael Yom Kippur and he said, Ashreichem Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem metarem mi metar eschem. And so the Navi calls to us, Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Aleikecho, ki koshalto ba'avoinecho. And it's difficult to understand the Loshen. Just say, ki chotoso. You've sinned. What do you mean, ki koshalto ba'avoinecho? Now we know that Rabbeinu Yoina and others write about the great chesed of tshuva. That tshuva is such a divine chesed. Shura Sadin would be, if somebody does an Avera, you can't be Mesakin. Yet the Eibush to give us the ability to be Mesakin our Chatoim again and again and again. He's Makabalos, he's Reitzeb B'Shuva. But we need to be Mizboinen, to be Malmik, in how great this Chesed truly is, and Adheichan Advorim Magiyim. The Gemara says, G'doylo Tshuva Shemagas Ad L'Kise HaKovoid. The darshan from this pasuk, Shuvi Yisrael ad Hashem Aleikecho. Think about that. Tshuva reaches ad lekisei hakovod. We have nothing in our imagination that goes beyond, higher than kisei hakovod. It's the highest concept that there is in Yiddishkeit. The Maisan Merkava, Yecheskel Anavi, is describing the kisei hakovod. When we do tshuva, the tshuva reaches the kisei hakovod. A person reaches the kisei hakovod. He's standing next to the Rebbeinu Shlom at the Kisei HaKovod. What is he doing? A Yid comes to Shul, comes in Kippur, the Lev Nishba, and he takes out the Machzer. And he says, Chotosi, Tata Zisa, Chotosi, Lechti Gebeire, Ovisi, Poshati. I didn't want to. I want to be good. The Eitzahara got hold of me. Rebbeinu shel Olam. Emes, ki atu hu yoitzram, v'atu yodea yitzram. I ask you, Mechila, I know I've asked you so many times, but I ask you again, I stand before you broken and humbled. Rebbeinu shel Olam, forgive me. And he says these words. And at that moment, his neshama flies up to the Kisei HaKovod. I read you the words of the Heilige Ber Maim Chaim. In Parshas Bereishis, about this Gemara, Mat gedoyle tshuva shemagas ad lekise akovoid. He says, when a person comes before the Rabbeinu Shalom with goydel ritzoinoi, livroyach merushus erisitra achri, wants to run away from the koyach of klipas, and he's oiker liboy, he's poireach behavas liboy, behava azav in the floor, he flies up, he does kefi yecholta, he promises the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm going to be better, I'm going to be masmid milimudi, more, moid, or dveikis alikus betfile umasim toivim. And what happens is, with his great rotshoin, choshka navshoi, liskashe, litzur yisrael, he has a great desire to be one with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Hu oilo, umagas at kisa kovet, he himself goes up lekisei kvoide, but not just he himself, says the Bar Mamchai. We know that when we do an aveira, the nitzoytas of Kedusha, the sparks of holiness from our neshama become entrapped in the klipos, in the shvi, and they're desperate to be extracted, to come out, and to be returned to the Kedusha. Says the Bar Maim Chaim, that they too come with us, those that were nishku, those that were entrenched in the klipos, they come with us, and they all, these Netzoites HaKadoshes all come up to the Kisei HaKovei together with the person. And that's why we say, B'mokim Shebalei Tshuva Oinden Ein Tzadikim Gimurim Yecholim Lamoi. So a person's here on this world in Shul, he's doing Tshuva, and he reaches the highest place in existence. We need to ask ourselves, why? What did he do today? How do we understand such a thing? Imagine there's a soldier in the army and he commits some sort of crime, let's say a serious crime. He's suspected of treason. And they bring him before a court-martial and you start bringing evidence against him and it's a capital case. You know, he could be sentenced to death. Betrayed his country. And he sees that the evidence is mounting and he asks, I want to have permission to go plead my case before the king himself. And they allow him to go. He comes to the king. He throws himself on the floor, on the ground. He starts crying and begging and asking to be pardoned. And this melech is soft-hearted. He's a good person. And he's moved by his entreaties. He says, you know, I see you really mean it. I'm going to pardon you. I'm going to give you a chanino. And we're going to free you. Everybody would say, wow, that melech, such a good-hearted, such a yashrin, so much chesed. Imagine if the melech were to say, not just we're going to pardon him, but you know, I'm going to reinstate him, he can go back to being a soldier again. That would be considered truly amazing. Unbelievable benevolence of the king. He says, yeah, I see, he's really sorry. Let him have his job back, let him be a soldier again. And people would say, it's a chesed godel. But what would we think if the melech would say, you know, I see he's really sorry, and I'm going to make him now the general of the army. And that would have no pshat at all. No one begin to understand. Wouldn't make any sense. And imagine if it's not the first time it happened. Imagine if it happened many times. And he would say, I'm going to, because you've come before me and you've asked for forgiveness, you are from now on going to be right next to me, right next to the throne, and you're going to become in charge of all the armies. Nobody would understand something because it wouldn't make any sense. Now there are many heilige mitzvahs. There's mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of shofar, the mitzvah of Shabbos, mitzvah of matzah, lulav and esrog, but on none of them does it say that a person is nisroimim until the kisei hakovei. And here, this mitzvah, and it has to be because he sinned before, and now he repents, and we're talking about serious aveiros, not simple aveiros. The lashon of the psikte on this very pasuk of Ad Hashem Elokecha, it says, Amru Yisrael, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Misyorim Onu Minu Avoinus, we are afraid, we have too many sins, we are many. As it says in the pasuk, as it says, "Ki avoneseinu rabu l'mal roish vashmeseinu god la ad la shemayim." Omer HaKadosh Baruch, the Eibishter will say to them, Al tisyoru min hadavar hazeh, don't be frightened. Even im heim ador akia, even if your sins reach up till the heavens, v'atem oisim, tshuva, you do tshuva, ani seleach, I will forgive you. V'lo yad arish, not just they get up to the first heaven, there are zayin rekiim, even till the second, till the third, afilu ad ashvi, till the seventh heaven, v'afilu ad kisei akovoi, v'atem oisim, tshuva, miyad ani mekabel eschem. Immediately I will accept you. As it says, Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elekecho, it means even if the sins were Ad Hashem Elekecho. And on that very posik, we say, Ad Hashem Elekecho, G'doy L'tshuvah Shemagas Ad L'kisei Akovoy. Why? The Ribbono Shel Olam, why? Why should he do this for us? It's a chesed that it seems to be without any cheshbin or any mahalach. Why should such a thing happen? And the psikta continues. Bosav adam, if a person is koyas al chaver, they get into an argument, and he wants to bring him a present to appease him, he brings him a doiram. Safik yikabul mimenu, safik einam iskabul. He doesn't know, he may accept it, he may not accept it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu einakein. Ela mispayas, you don't have to bring him a present. Mispayas b'dvorim. Khu imochem dvorim. Stand before him and say, I want to repent. Loy oi. Ela odom shahoylech l'chfabedes ha-melech. A person goes to a king of flesh and blood. He comes, his hands are filled. V'choyzem en reikam. He leaves empty-handed because he gave everything to the king. But our Kodesh Baruch Hu Eina came. We come to Rabbeinu Shem with our Averis. And we say, Kol Tisa Ovoin, here are our sins. V'u'ayim Elohem, Kach Toiv, in place of these Averis, take goodness, abundance, Shefa, Brocha, V'atzlocha. L'chein Anovi, Meshabcha, Aroiv Rachamov, and he says, Mikael Kamoicha, Noise Ovoin, V'oiver Alpesha. It sounds like, I don't know if you know the song in Yiddish from the Heilige Baditshev, Rabbeinu Shem, is Luma de Machan Abayit. I want to make a trade with you. He says, I will give you chatoim avoinois upshoim, and in exchange you'll give me a mechila slicha kapore. In Esmanoch Tzi game, that's not enough. It's not yet a fair trade. You still have to add on bona, chaya, mezoina, and all of the brachas. It sounds a very beautiful song, but what's the meaning? Why? I bring him chatoim avoinus shem today. He's going to shower me with blessing. Why? Why should there be such a thing? Tshuva is a tremendous chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moichel us again and again. But why all of these madregas? Why are we lifted up ad l'kisei hakovod? So someone will say, the Eibishter is such a guter. He's so good. He loves us so much. Just gives us and gives us and gives. But that doesn't make any sense. There's nothing without a cheshbon. They've just wanted to shower us with blessing. Okay, so you could do it without the tshuva too. But this little mitzvah of tshuva, which the Torah has made as an easy mitzvah, but you have to do the tshuva. Pirk der Belezer, it says, Moshel, lemi, shehoi yeporish layam, a person went to travel a journey on the high seas. If he takes with him lechem umayim, he takes with bread and water, he'll be able to survive. If not, he can't survive the trip. The same if a person, im odom eina oise tshuva b'chayov, if he doesn't do tshuva in his lifetime, la'acha misa ein loy tshuva elo noistim loy kidrochov upri malolo. There's no vitter by the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person comes to Shema, he didn't do tshuva, every single machshava dibra maisa has to be accounted for and has to be paid for. And yet if a person does tshuva, the Rambam said does tshuva the last day of his life. Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts his tshuva and he zoyche techayim nitzchiyim. So it's not hefker. There has to be tshuva. When there is this tshuva, there's this endless bracha. And this is very difficult to understand. Why should it be like this? And we see from here, Rabbi say, Adova Neira. A different havana in what tshuva means. Because avad is not nitten to be understood bechlal, that it should be magia to us, that we're deserving of such a chesed because of the tshuva that we do. There has to be more to it. We make them a marshal. The Ben Ish Chai told the story. It was a melech who had a little girl, a daughter, a young princess, and she fell into the water, fell into the ocean, and a boy dove in and saved her life. And the melech was so grateful, he said, look, you know, when you grow up, both of you grow up, I'm going to have you marry the princess, and you're going to become the king. How are we going to know in all those years who this boy is? What's going to be the proof? So they took him, they made a little nick in his ear with a knife, the scar will cover, and always know that's going to be the sign years later that he was the one who was promised to marry the princess. Now, fate had it that the king died young, and there was nobody to run the kingdom. All he had was this little young princess. And so they put an apotropos, somebody to be a substitute until the princess would be old enough to get married and become the king and queen. So this apotropos, this substitute, he was running the kingdom. And he started to enjoy his power. He was in charge. And he got nervous that because what's going to happen when this princess gets married and I'm going to lose all of my power. So he issued a decree that the princess has to stay in the palace and no one's allowed to come into the palace. This way that whoever's destined to marry will never be able to come in. Now one day this boy, who he was the one who was promised that he's going to marry the princess, says he can't get there. So you go over to this apotropos and he says, look, I have something that I can make that this malucha, the kingdom, should be turned into such success. There could be such a difference in the way the malucha is running that no one will recognize what there was until now. But all I need is I need to be able to go into the palace for 1 second and I'm not going to say a single word. Now he was very curious. What could that mean? You can bring such an improvement to the malucha just by going in. He says, just give me the chance to go in for a second. He says, you promise you're not going to say anything? He says, he opens, he lets them go in. He walks over to the princess and he bends down and shows the nick on his ear and he walks out. And of course she realized and understood that this was the one who was promised to him. And they got married and he became the king, and truly that the malucha was now lifted up to better than it ever was. So the Ben Ish Chai says, we think that the zivig that we have with our neshama, we become close to our neshama, is something new. It's an old shidduch. We just lost contact with our neshama. But it's being restored who we really are. We think that tshuva means we go out of ourselves. We're going to change. We're not going to change. We're going to go into ourselves and find in the depths the kedusha that a yid really is. That's what we say in the Aseres in Mechuvah Shira Malas Mi Ma'amakim. We're not going outward, we're going inward, because inward is where all of the Kedusha of a Yid is. On Tshuva it says, Loi Bashamayim Hi, Loi Me'eva Loyam Hi, Ki Korev Eilecha Hadova Ma'oid Beficho Vilvovcho La'asoy Soy. It's inside every one of us. Do we have any idea how much oil there is inside a Yid's neshama? Reb Tzadik writes a lashon that there's enough oil in every Yid's neshama to be meir, to light up misoifa oilam vad soifa and all of the oilamos. Others say, simu lev al neshama, oira koir achama shibasayim koir aboiker. You know, the sun rises and the sun illuminates the entire world, to the other end of the world. The same sun that we see in the morning lights up Australia, lights up the other end of the world. A neshama of a yid is so much brighter than that. Till the highest world, till the Kisei HaKavod, its light shines. Nishmas Yisrael has the ability to shine because that's what it is. But the chatoim cover up that light. They're soysim that light, so it can't be seen, it can't be realized. When we do tshuva, the rega that we do tshuva, that becomes nisgala. And it says in the pasuk, kol tisa ovoin v'kach toiv. Pick up, tisa, lift up the ovoin and take the good. The good is already there. A yid is be'etzem ashtik kisei HaKavod. Of course he's Magas Ad L'Kisei HaKavod. That's who he is. That's who he always was. As Rabbi Lapian says in the Pasuk, Kulech Yofer Ayasi Mum Ein Bach. Kulech Yofer, a Yid is pure. Even if there are mum, even if there are blemishes, they're on the outside, but they're not Bach. You take them away. And a person, a Yid, is who he's supposed to be. The Iker of Tshuva is not just the Kapora, and that we become Potter from the Oynish. Of course, that's very, very important to us. But it's the Hachzoras Atora Liyoishno. The return of our koiches that were taken away from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was begging us, I know what you're capable of. I know how much oil there is in you. I know that you can shake the heavens. I know that a Yibin, every tenua that he does, every bit that he gives for the Rebbeinu Shalom, every Amidah B'Nisayin, he's shaking all of the heavens. I know his power. I can't bear it. Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Aleikecho Ki Koshalto B'Avoinecho. The Baishlam is not crying about the chet, he's crying about the michshel, you've fallen, your abilities. I can't bear to see someone who is so great, who's so exalted, to have stumbled, and his abilities and his koiches can't be used. Chazal tell us that when Yonah was sent to Nineveh, he didn't want to go because he was afraid there's going to be a kitrig on Klal Yisrael. Because the goyim are kroivei tshuva, they're close to tshuva, and he's afraid that Yom HaSoylem will do tshuva. And Klal Yisrael, chas v'shalom, dozens, there's going to be a kitrig. What does it mean? Umo is akroivim l'tshuva, more than Klal Yisrael. Let's push it. And Umas Olam, if he falls, the distance from who he is be'etzem is a small distance. He's karev l'tshuva, he picks himself up and gets back. He doesn't feel the vast contradiction between his mice and between his essence. Doesn't feel so defeated. He feels it's possible, but a yid inside his neshama, he knows that he's a shtik kisei hakavod. And he feels deep inside, when he's in a matzav of chet, Gevald, I'm so far from who I am. How could I ever be what I am? He feels it inside. He feels there's such a steer that it holds him back from his belief that he really can be back at the Kisei HaKavod just by doing tshuva. But the emes is punk faket. The emes is the koyach of the tshuva mamish brings him to the Kisei HaKavod. That's why, how tragic it is when someone thinks, and many think and have that feeling, whether they articulate it or not, they give up. I've sinned so many times, it doesn't pay to fight anymore. Who gives him a right to do that? Who gives a Yid a right to be miyayish, to despair? It's such an avla to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who believes in us, who's waiting for us, who needs us, who's pleading with us. How do you ever surrender? Only one time you surrender. When an army sees it's encircled, and realize if he continues to fight, he's going to be destroyed. So you hang out the white flag because I have to give up rather than be destroyed. But in Ruchnius, surrender is destruction. We don't fight. The purpose of the fight is not to win the battle. You win the battle if you're fighting. We're fight to fight. The fact that we're fighting, that's what gives Nachas Ruch to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. No matter where we are, no matter what happened to us, we're a shtik kisei hakavod. Somebody told me a story about a very well-known Rosh Yeshiva, Adam Godel, said that he remembers they were together in Yeshiva. And they were lunch, they were playing football. Those of you used to play football with a regular rubber ball. He was running, he was running, and he fell into a manhole. He was running, and he fell in and broke both of his legs. But he was on the floor, he was holding up the ball. I didn't drop the ball, I'm holding it. If we're holding it, if we're not giving up, we're winning. That's called winning. But the Yetzer Hara, because when we're doing that, when we're fighting, we're at the Kisei HaKavod. And that brings simcha to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What happens? What does a person do? So a person says, "Oi, I'm so terrible. I'm so disgusting." He should be saying, "I did something so terrible, and I'm so glorious. I'm so heilig. I'm such a madrega, and I did this thing." That's a charota that will bring him to growth. Somebody was telling me, heard from somebody, a Rav, was saying, you can't talk about charota today. People can't deal with it. You talk about vidi and Kabbalah la'ase, because charota, the person starts having guilt feelings, he loses his whole confidence, whole self-esteem, and in the end it's going to cause him to sin more. If it's a charota that says, I'm so terrible, it's a dangerous thing. But if it's a charota that says, I am so elevated, I'm such a shtik kisei akovoy, and this is what I've done, that's the greatest exercise and self-esteem there could ever be, is charota is coming because of his hakara in his greatness. That will bring him to growth. The Kotzke once said, what's the difference between atzvus and a lev nishber? Atzvus is, ich bin kalje geworden. A lev nishber is, ich hab kalje gemacht. Atzvus is, I'm ruined. A lev nishber is, I've ruined. And if I've ruined, I do tshuva. But I am kulach yofer ayosi mum ein boch. The Tanit Be'Eliyahu says, the pasuk yomim yitzaru v'lo yechad mehem ze yom ha-kipurim. Moshe le-melech shehoyo avodov moitzien. They were taking out the zvolim. They were taking out the trash and the garbage, and there was no sewage in those days. And they were throwing it at the doors of the palace of the king. Can you imagine? The king would be outraged. So the king came out, for your sameach simcha gedoylem, because see that they're cleaning themselves. It says, Kacha Kodesh Baruch Hu, he sees that Klal Yisrael is doing tshuva, he's molei simcha gedoylem, as he calls out to Shemayim v'noritz, boy v'simchu, join me in my rejoicing. The simcha gedoyle shani moichalahem lavoinesein shal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us. When can I lift him up already next to the kisa, covered where he belongs, so he can be who he's supposed to be? And like in the Moshul, the princess is waiting for him much more than he's waiting for her. Mamish, the Eibush, the vat and vat of Yiddish kinder, because he knows what was so much more than we, what we're able to do and who we're able to be, and he can't bear that we're being held back by the iridus and by the mistakes that we made. That's why Yom Kippur is such a simcha and Allah ilomus loyoyam tovim liYisrael ki Yom Kippurim. Who can ever forget? Everybody here remembers a few years ago that Zois Chanukah, when we heard the news that the Psholmot Chirbashkin was freed. I don't think anybody remembers such a simcha, such pure rejoicing. People were mamash literally dancing in the streets from joy. Thousands of people, the minute they heard the noise, they made a Shechiyonu B'Shem Malchus, but I've been asking a Shaila. Because, they don't remember such a Basura Toiv. I remember that night I was at a chasin in New York. The dancing that was going on. But the Oilam was in such a state of ecstasy. What was it? What was that simcha from? We felt the joy of the cleansing, of the reinvash, of the clearing of a yid who was suffering, say, umshuldig. Umshuldig means that compared to whatever he did, we felt that the churban was so much bigger. And we couldn't bear the feeling of the contradiction to what we saw. We couldn't take it. And we heard that great moment of his freedom. We felt a simcha that was once in a lifetime level of simcha, because we knew that the reason that he was suffering was because he's a yid. We knew that it wasn't lefi the masim that he did. It was because he's a yid. When a yid does an aveil, look in Chazal, Mesvara, Magdoshim, there's a terrible churban in all the ilamas. In all the ilamas, there's blackness and darkness. It's pagan, a yid is pagan. Does an aveil, terrible thing. You try to think, why? What did he do? What did he do? He's a good guy. He wants to be good. The Yetzer got hold of him. He made a mistake. So much churban. The truth is, the reason he causes so much churban is because he's a yid. Because he's so great. It's not like a peasant falls. When a king falls, that's a fall. That's a fall. But we feel, we can't see in our small, narrowed vision. To us, it feels like it feels so out of proportion. And so the Simcha of Yom Kippur, Amavasht Rein Yiddish Kinder, whose churban only comes because of their greatness. And we feel the incongruence. We're not comparing to the Moshe. The Moshe was injustice. But the Hergish, the same feeling that something's being set right. This is the way it's supposed to be. Yom Kippur is the way it should be. That's the right way. A yid should be by the Kiyasei HaKovei. That's where he belongs. That's what brings us such intense joy. And with this, perhaps we can understand the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masech, the Nida, the Gemara brings us Tiras HaPsukim. One pasuk it says, Kilei Achboitz B'moyz HaMeis. The other pasuk it says, Ki Chofetz Hashem LaHamiso. It's a stira. Hashem wants us to live or not, Chas V'Sholem. So the Gemara says, Kam Ba'oysen Tshuva, Kam Ba'ein Oysen Tshuva. Kilei Achboitz B'moyz HaMeis says, Ba'oysen Tshuva. Chofetz Hashem LaHamiso is Ba'ein Oysen Tshuva. It's a pella. Because what does the end of the pasuk say? Kliachboitz b'moyz hameis ki im b'shuva b'drocha v'choya. But he didn't do tshuva. Either they both didn't do tshuva, they both did do tshuva. If he didn't do tshuva, how can you say that kliachboitz b'moyz hameis kan she'oisin tshuva? Medayeg the Gemara doesn't say she'osu tshuva. It says she'oisin tshuva. We are people who do tshuva. What happens? Rishiva spoke before about a chodesh elul. What happens in these weeks and these days? A klal yisrael, every yid, no matter how his year looked, no matter where he's fallen, come, we're all running to shul, we're all running for chizik, we're saying slichas, we're davening, we're shoshana, aseres yimei tshuva, we're oisin tshuva, we're constantly doing tshuva. People like that, the mishpat of Rosh Hashanah is, what then HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect from us in the coming year? I see so much opportunity. Look, they're ois in tshuva. This is who I'm getting. These people are ois in tshuva. Have neshamas that are magia ad lekisei akovod. This Lonely used to say that tshuva is 1% about the past and 99% about the future. But many make the mistake and they think it's 99% about the past and 1% about the future. Then they're not left with much after the tshuva. Tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecho. Kadosh Baruch Hu's pleading with us. I know what you're capable of, my children. I know who you really are. Only I understand the michshel What a tragedy it is that you can't be operating at your full efficiency. Ein va'ato ela tshuva. Miyad hu mekabli. Immediately. I'm just waiting for the opportunity that I want to see you the way you're supposed to be. And so, we're approaching Yom Kippur, the Yom HaKodesh. We live in a world, we all know the Gemara. Gemara describes how the year of Shemitah, how those 7 years are going to look. B'Shviyas Mulchomois, B'Motzei Shviyas Ben David Bo. You see a world that seems to be falling apart. No one knows what's in store. They're talking about hunger, about cold, about this Muhammad. Motzei Shviyas Ben David Bo. But we see more than that. We see in front of us a spiritual pestilence in the world. As the Navi says, we learned a few weeks ago, Hine hachoshech yechasa oretz, varofel lu'umim, v'olayich yizrach Hashem, uchvoidoy olayich yeiroe. The world is becoming a dark place. A place of more and more hastora, where the koiches of tumah rear their heads with a great arrogance. And who does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be mamlechim, to shine a light through all of that choshech va'arofel? Even the Umas HaOlam know it. I heard from a goy, it was a meeting, it was one of the state senators. He said they're waging a war against God. It says in the Posse, Roiznim noizdu yachad al Hashem v'al Mashiachah. Yeah, al Hashem v'al Mashiachah. Nothing less. Yeah, Yoshe b'shamayim yischok. The Eibishter knows that they can never succeed. But it's not just a war against the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbi say it's a war against humanity. Because if you take away Chalila the Rabbeinu Shalom, a person becomes meaningless and his life has no purpose. Which means the destruction of the human being. Today we're watching as the world presides over the systematic destruction and dismantling of the human soul. Every virtue, every ray of nobility of character, of anything that makes a person great, is being ridiculed and dismissed. And instead, the lowest concepts imaginable are being uplifted and admired and lauded. They've taken away self-sacrifice and replaced it with a hollow self-righteousness. They've done away with self-reliance and have given the world instead self-doubt. In place of self-control, we now have self-pity. We wallow in self-pity. And the saddest of all that is, instead of self-respect, we now have self-loathing. In their wanton and unbridled selfishness, they snuffed out the self. Rav Dessler writes, before Mashiach will come, you'll see the world will be overtaken by anoichius mufrezes, exaggerated, unbridled selfishness, which has one purpose. It makes that there is no self left. You take away the person's ability to give, to sacrifice, to hakrova. So what comes in its place? Emptiness. A false self-righteousness. Whatever I do is right. Whatever I do is virtuous. You take away his self-reliance, his responsibility. He becomes filled with self-doubt. He's a person without any confidence. He ceases to be a person. And instead of experiencing the joy of self-mastery and self-control, he's really pitying himself. I need to have this and I need to have that, and I can't be denied any pleasure in the world. And then you take away your self-respect. And you have a world that hates itself. So we think it has nothing to do with us. But of course it has an effect on us. Something strange, something unusual is happening in front of our eyes. We're watching. It used to be Nisyonos, Taivas. We enter a world of such excess that it doesn't make any sense. This is not Taivas anymore. There's something that can't be explained. You go to a simcha and they put it on your plate, a piece of steak that's large enough to feed a family. And you see it once, and you see it again and again. Wherever you go, every type of alcoholic beverage, and anything you possibly could imagine, this is not taiva. There's something wrong. Something's happening. The destruction of the ani means that in its place, a person, in order to feel alive, he has to feel that nothing can be denied him. I have to have Ashliyibotsamem kol ashayoz mulasos. Whether he needs it, whether he doesn't need it, every display of anything imaginable, he has to be able to have it. It's a form of avodah zarah. It means that I have to have whatever I want. If this is something, this is not normal. There's something wrong. There's something called foodies. People who talk about food. Who take pictures of food. But if people aren't hungry, there's something wrong. Something's happening. It's. You should talk about food. You don't think you talk about food? Eat, enjoy food. Talk about, you want to give your wife a compliment. That's what you should talk about food. Tell how good the meal was. But oh, because they've created a world where a person cannot be denied anything, any deviance, any immorality. It has to be available because otherwise he has no life. If there's no Rabbi Shlom in his life, he has no life. And Rachmana Litzlan, we can destroy ourselves and Chatz V'Shalom destroy a generation, Ebslav Hitni. Excess in everything. Without any restraint, as some sort of goal or some sort of achievement. In many places, money has now become life itself. And when there's an issue of money, there's no gvul to what can be said, what can be done, how a person can behave, because there's no other life. This is life. I'm fighting for my life. And sometimes it looks like Yiddishkeit has become one big school of hapanasa. Because if there's no ani, there's no person, so just that yawning void that can only be filled with numbness, and people are turning to the only way to deal with the pain, the unbearable pain of non-existence, is to keep on partying, and drinking, Rachmanu Litzlan, substance abuse. What's it there for? It's because there's no ani. The person isn't there. There's the natural consequence of it. The whole purpose of the Yomim Neroim began Chodesh Elul. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, for a person to develop his ani, to understand that I do exist. Not only I exist, v'doidi li, we exist together, and I exist right alongside the Rabbi Shlom at the Kisei HaKovet. And every moment of my life has so much meaning, and so much purpose, and so much energy, and so much simcha, and so much life, and so much light in Aloy Lomos. When a person lives like that, he wants more and more of that. He wants more and more life. Yom Kippur is the greatest celebration of being a human being that there is. That a boss of a dom can reach the level of a malach with daimel malachim on Yom Kippurim. But much more than malach, because malachim are malachim.
But we're human beings, we're flesh and blood. A flesh and blood of us could be a malach. That's the greatest human achievement possible.
And that's why from there he goes right into the sukkah. What's a sukkah? A sukkah is psoilus goyin v'yekev. A little hut. There's nothing there. A few boards scrapped together. Shtayim kilchos and yishlaf ilutefa. And the Yid sits there and the Rebbein Shlem says, come, I want to sit together with you. Igola no, freis chavivi olai, esukah shleimecho. I'll sit with you together with the Ovas HaKadoshim. You know, the Avnei Neza says that even if somebody has the minig that on Shabbos Chalamoit Pesach to say Shalom Aleichem, different minhagim, says Chalamoit Sukkis, if it's Shabbos, you shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem to greet the Malachim, because the Malachim can't come into the Sukkah. The place is too holy for them to enter. Think about it. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemaim to get the Torah, so the Malachim said, Mali Yiludisha Beineinu. When we go into the sukkah and the malachim want to come in, we say, Malaini Yeludisha Beineinu. What are you doing in here? You're not of flesh and blood. How could you come into such a holy place like the sukkah? The Psaldik writes, that wherever there's a great hastara, that's a sure proof that underneath there's a kedusha that equals to that hastara. Sometimes this, and there is always such hastara, we're unable, you know why we can't be what we have to be? Because there's a hastara, we're unable to see it. We can't see that we stand next to the Kisei HaKavod. We don't believe in our ability to do tshuva. A person says, you know, I want to do tshuva. Okay, I can do tshuva. Where do I start? It takes a chance to think, his mind starts to wander. I'm sorry, Hashem. I want to say, no, it's not doing it. I don't feel it. What should I do? Maybe I'll do the music thing in the background. That helps sometimes. Doesn't help. Doesn't know. I want to have a lev nishba. It's very simple. It says, "Kru imochem dvorim." Say the words. Take a machzeh. It doesn't say them. Kru, take the words that it says here. Take them. These are words. Take them. Say them to the Rebbeinu Shleilem. Mean what you're saying. Think of those words. And v'shuvu el Hashem. Which means I have to do something. Do something. And that takes those words and makes them, brings them into the physical world. Because we have so much power. And the biggest proof is our ability to destroy. Today, Rachmana Litzlan, you could have, parents could put years and years of Mesiras Neft and Megadol a child. Investment, people. How much money is poured into Schal Limud from Klal Yisrael? Hundreds of millions of dollars. And comes along a little device that costs $40 and can destroy the child's whole future. Can break down all of that Mesiras Nefesh. 3,500 years of Mesiras Nefesh can be destroyed by a device. It costs $30-$40. That's an unbelievable, awesome power. I mean, there's a power this generation has that we can destroy things that were built going back to Avraham Avinu. But it has to be a clear sign to us that we have the ability to build, that we must be the generation that can bring Mashiach. Look at our story and understand the power that lies underneath it. We're capable of doing things. We're capable of overcoming this Nisayim. V'shuv al Hashem, everyone can do something. I want to tell you a story. There's a woman who lives in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to say her last name, maybe she doesn't want me to say, but Chmona Litzlan, she suffers from a devastating illness known as ALS. Terrible, terrible. Chmona Litzlan, she should have refuah shleima. Yecheved Tomer Bas Italeya. This woman is a Moedik at Tzadekis. And we have some family connection. My in-laws live next door to them. They grew up together. My Rebbetzin grew up together with their family. So in Eretz Yisrael, go in, ostensibly to give chizik. You know, you go to such people, talking about, you really get chizik. I go along with my children, my daughters, speak, sing songs. She can't move, she can't say anything, of course, but with her eyes she's able to communicate. And she wants to ask a question. Her question is that she knows that Rabbonim came out very strongly and said that internet can only be used for business purposes, shouldn't be used for anything else. Is she allowed to use the internet for shiurim? Shiurim of Torah? It's not a business purpose. Is that okay? So without hesitation, I said, please, the Rabbanim didn't mean you. They weren't talking about that. Of course, this is what you have. This is your lifeline to, this is your lifeline to life. By all means, take as much as you can. And then she somehow, God bless, she wants to say something more. She says, no, you didn't understand the question. It's not what I meant to ask. I meant to ask, am I allowed to not use it? I'm a mother who has children, and there's nothing that I can do for their kiddushah v'tahara. Is it okay for me to say that this is the thing that I'm going to do, and this will protect my home, that it should be a matam kodesh b'Yisrael, because I'm not going to be connected to any of these tzinoiris? Is it okay for me to do that? I was so taken aback. I had to compose myself. I took a few steps. I said, Rabbi Nishalim, how could it be that Mashiach doesn't come this second? I just can't believe Mashiach not coming this second. And I said, I'm sorry. I can talk to people. I don't know how to talk to Malachim. Think about it, Rabbi. Think about it, Rabbi Yisrael. Think about it. All sorts of cheshbonos a person can have. What am I doing to ensure the kedusha of our children, the continuation of a klal Yisrael? How could any yid ever have any connection to all of these things called social media, anything that's not for the purpose of panosa? What on earth for? All the different entertainment venues and forget about the endless time wasting. Years and years of life going out for the biggest shtusim in the world. Make a decision, v'shuv al Hashem, ke'endik, it's not part of my life. It never should have been, it never will be again, it's over. V'shuv al Hashem. Could you imagine how the heavens will shake? When I make the decision, maybe I should think, it should be a schus l'refuah shleimah, yachev etava b'asit aleiah. We're capable of extraordinary things. And the biggest proof is the Nisyonos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending to us. The greatest gilui, the greatest level of closeness that we have is after Yom Kippur. We go into the sukkah, we sit there with the Rabbi Nishalel. So you know what happens? You know, we never know whether our avoid is merutzah. We don't get a report card. We hope, because Baruch Hu nisratz with our avoid. There's one place where we're told sometimes, because like Baruch Hu shows us, doesn't want our avoid. One place. Mishnah says, if it rains on sukkahs, says, Moshel Adova, imagine an Eved comes to be Moise Kois L'Rabboi, Rabboi Shoifich Loikiten Alpono. The Gemara explains, it means he takes it and pours it over his head. Shofach Loikiten Alpono. Could you imagine? We come to serve the Rabbi Nishalayim, and he says, get out of here. I don't want your service. In the place of the greatest closeness possible,
There are thousands, tens of thousands of Yidden who are walking around convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shofech kitten al peneim 10 times a day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need my Avodah, doesn't need my Tefillah, doesn't need my Torah, doesn't need me. He's sure he's convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being shofech like kitten al pano all the time. And that's the biggest ray. You know why? That's the malady, the illness of this generation. Because there's never been a generation that is capable of so much. The generation is meant to bring Mashiach. The generation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us so desperately. So we have to be given the feeling that He doesn't need us at all. You know what happened with the Simchas Beis HaShayehu? Hillel HaZaken came in, you know what he said? One thing. Im ani kan, ha-koil kan. That speaks for every Yid. It says they came to Simchas Beis HaShayehu, tikkun gadol asu sham. They made a great tikkun. Perhaps you know where the Nisach HaMayim came from? Every Yid came. And he brought all of those kitoinoi shalmayim that he was doused with, that said, I don't want you, I don't want you. He brought all of that water to the Beis HaMikdosh. And he took that kitten, and he turned it into, kitten is the same letters as tikkun. He turned it into a tikkun gadol. Here, this water that you say that you make me think you don't want me, I'm pouring it on the Mizbeach. I'm not going to be pushed away. I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants my Avodah. And we take that kitten and turn it into a tikkun gadol. When we overcome this nesoyim that plagues us, and Rachman HaSlan destroys so many Yiddish kinder, this not understanding, this lack of belief in the power of my Avodah, dafke, because that's the nesoyim of the world. That's why we have to know that it's Hastara Kavi covering over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begging us, Shuvi Yisrael Ad Hashem Alekecho. And there's one other time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us openly that He wants our Avodah. And Shmini Atzeres is a yontif. What's the whole purpose of the yontif? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kosha olai pridaschem. I can't bear to be separate. I want to be with you longer. Stay a bit longer. Ikvu olai yoim echot. It means it could have rained the whole sukkah. He could have been pouring kitoinah shalmayim again and again. There's never been a cancellation of Shmini Atzeres. Because in the end, the emes comes out. Moshem tells us, I want you, I want you, I want you. And when we'll understand that, we'll be able to be strong. So we're going to say tomorrow in the Slichas, Am Hashem Chizku V'Nischasko. We say, Avinu Malkeinu Asei L'man Boi Ba'esh U'Va'mayim Al Kiddush Shemecho. It was a generation that went through Eish. What is Mayim? We go through the Nesoyin of Mayim, of the Kaltkai, of the Kitoinius that are poured on us again and again. And Afal Pikein, we overcome that. And we run to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And we say, Efrois Aleinu Sukkah Shloimecho. And we're going to sit with you, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Besukkah Seira Shel Uvyasom. The Badit Sheva once came in for Tkiya Shofar. And he said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, look at your nation. You said in the Torah one pasuk, Yom Tru Yeh Lochem. And for that, they blow maya koilas, they blow 100 koilas. And what do we ask of you? One koil, t'kaba shofar gadol l'chei v'seinu. Why can't you give it to us? Because it sounds like a beautiful poetry. Of course, that's not what it was. He was saying something. But what do you mean? How can you compare the two? What's our 100 koilas? We blow 100 koilas. His t'kaba shofar gadol means tikkun olam. Fixing everything in the world. How could our 100 koilas be a bigger accomplishment, it sounds like he's saying, than his one koil? What are you talking about? Where do the 100 koilas come from? Tosis brings the Oruch. Bat Yabev Eim Sisro.
the mother of Sisera, she was waiting for her general, for her son, the one who went to do battle against Klal Yisrael, to come back. He was late coming back from the battlefield because he was killed and she didn't know where he was. She was sitting by the window and waiting for him to come back. She was miyabev. She sighed 100 times. And for that we blow 100 koilas. And Dvoira Neviyah tells this in the Shiras Dvoira. The Pasuk Naftali Ayolo Shlucha Anoisin Imre Shafer, the Medrash says Rashi's Meramas to it, that's talking about Shiras Dvoira. She's called the Ayolo who sings HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shimu Molochem Azinu Roiznim, and she is the one who tells about Aim Sisera. Ba'ada Chaloi Nishkifo Vatiyavev Aim Sisera Ba'ada Eshno. She's sitting there and crying and groaning in the window. Madua boyshe shrich boy lovoy. Why isn't his chariot coming back? Madua ech rupame mar kivoyse. And from those meyer yevavus we take our meyer koilas. How many Yiddish parents sit up at night by the window wondering, where is my son? Where is my daughter? When are they coming home? How many b'nei u'b'nois Yisrael sit at the chaloin waiting, when will I be able to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael? How many yidden sit in hospital rooms by the window waiting, when is my Yeshua going to come? When will the refuah come? How many people are waiting, struggling with parnasa? They're sitting by all of these chaloinas. All of those koilas are all part of the koil shofar. And all of Klal Yisrael sitting by the window and waiting, when will our redemption come? Madua boyshe shrich boy lovoy, madua echru pame mar kevoysov. And we don't know the answers. We blow the shofar and we're mamluch the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Rebbeinu Shlom, he blows the shofar once, but he knows the reason for everything, but we don't. And from that pain, in all those mea koilas are included, and we say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, Rebbeinu Shlom is taka. He keeps the cheshbon of everything. It's mashgiach aleinu. But as the Pasuk says, Doime, Doime, Litzvi, Loifer, Ayolim, that Ayola. Hineu, Oimedach, Koisleinu, Mashgiach, Minach, Aloinus, Rebbein, Shaloilum, you are Mashgiach on us, come by these windows. Pneino, Elatlois, Va'alachatois. We look out these windows and we see the Rebbeinu Shalom, we see Dmus Yuknei Shalom B'Chaloin, and these koilas are Boikeya Chaloinei Rokia. On Yom Kippur, according to the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, it was the time of the Akedah. Just as the sun is coming down, we're going to Nila. That was the Zman of the Akedah, according to many Mekoris and Chazal. And by the Akedah it says that Avram took Yitzchak, put him on the Mizbeach, and he was going to shecht him on the Mizbeach. The Shem Yishmul and others asked the question, you're not supposed to shecht on the Mizbeach. You learn from a Pasuk, HaBosav Adam, V'lo Yashchit al HaMizbeach. You shecht on the Azara, you just put the Bosav Adam, put the Emurim, the Dam, you don't shecht on the Mizbeach. What was the purpose of shechting on the Mizbeach? And he has a Teretz al Derech HaAvodah. Perhaps there's a remez here. The Akedah was the last of the Asara Nisyonis. I've seen brought that the Asara Nisyonis correspond to the generations. And the last Nisoyin corresponds to the last generation. The Asara Nisyonis are makbil, the temp sukim of Malchias that we say. The last one is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. Mesiras Nefesh. Ayaras Hamokim Erochek, I saw for a Moshe Wolfson, as I'm going to say for Munasitecho, as Hamokim Erochek, the Begimatri Ikbis of the Mashiach. Our generation, we come from somewhere. Our parents went through the Nisoyim of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I once read that there's only one time in history, usually when there were massacres, they killed people, Yidden, HaKiddush Hashem, the hordes would come pouring into a city, they killed the people on their place. There was never a time when people were taken away from where they were and transported to the place of slaughter to be killed there. Being put on the Mizbeach after a long and terrible, terrifying journey. When Avraham Avinu went for 3 days, to the Mizbeach, to be put on the Mizbeach. And perhaps the Kavona was that Yitzchok was then taken off the Mizbeach after he had already been there. We are the product of the generation that was already on the Mizbeach. And taken off and given the mission to rebuild, given the mission to believe and to fight the despair, to fight the Yish and start a Klal Yisrael again. But after that Nisoyan, and the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu begged, never give me such a Nisoyan again. There's perhaps an 11th Nisoyan. There's a Nisoyan of Mayim. The word Mayim, the Al-Kadraveni says, is mentioned by the Mabul 11 times. And by Kriyas Yamsef 11 times, the Parsha Soita 11 times. It's connected to 11. After that Nisoyan, the final Nisoyan is going to be the Nisoyan of Krirus, of Kaltkeit, of the Mayim of the Yama Taive. The Mayim of Shavchuloi Kitan Alponov, to be able to hold our Emunah, to believe in our mission and to believe in our Koiches, even though we're drowning in the Kitoina Shel Mayim, in the Krirus. We didn't give up then. After the war, he had learned Mila during the war. And after he was there for another 2 years in Europe, and he went around doing bris mila on hundreds of Yiddish children, he determined there was one couple who refused, they didn't want, said, we can't have my child go through the gemara. Everybody else agreed, and if I remember correctly, in the end they were convinced. They all wanted to be Yidden. Avinu Malkeinu Asei Leman Boi Ba'eish Uva'mayim Al Kiddush Shemecho. We have to overcome this final Nisoyan. It's a Nisoyan of belief in Kiddushas Yisrael. It's a Nisoyan in the confidence that we have a mission. Even though the world is telling us that a person is nothing, his life is worthless. All he should do with his life is find new ways to get more and more insane pleasures. In a world like that, where a person is constantly being bombarded, that there's no meaning to life. To say, Ani Mamun Mamunin Shalemo. Chaboyri is Barak Shemo, Yuzubayru Manik, Lachala Bruin. I believe that we are here and we are able to give light into Allah Ilamois. I believe Emunah Shalema that a Yitz Neshama is a shtik kisei akavoy, and I just have to do the tshuva, kol tisa avay v'kach toiv, and that will be revealed and will be restored our Torah leYoishno, and we'll taka be able to bring the Motzah Shviyas. Will be zoicha to see Ben David Bo. Well, the Eibush told himself, well, he should be Zeuche to a Shnaz, Geula, and Yeshua, a Geula Klolis, a Geula Protis. He should be Zeuche to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Simcha. He should be Zeuche to Kaddish Shem Shemaim and all of our Maisim. All of Yiddish Kinder should be Zeuche to Shefa, Brocha, and Hatzlocha. Siyata Dishmaya, Nachas from the children, Zivugim Hagunim. Eden, all over the world should be protected. Eden Eretz Yisrael, Eden in Europe, Eden there in Russia and Ukraine, they're in places of danger. Kein Tog Yen Alamcha Yisrael, B'Shleimecha, they should protect all Yiddish Kinder to bring us all together. We should hear the Shofar Gadol, Uvo Oivdem Beretz Asher, V'anidochem Beretz Mitzrayim, V'shtachvu, L'Hashem Barakoydesh, B'Yerushalayim, B'Bias Mashiach, Tzidkeinu, B'Meir, B'Yomeinu, Amen.